Here is a list of some answers turned in by students of history to their teachers. David was a Hebrew king in the Old Testament who was skilled at playing the lyre, L-I-A-R. Solomon, his son, had 500 wives and 500 porcupines. Without the Greeks, we wouldn't have history. Socrates died from an overdose of wedlock. The Greeks invented the Olympic Games, where they hurled biscuits and threw the java. The Romans were called Romans because they never stayed in one place very long. Nero was a cruel tyrant who tortured his subjects by playing the fiddle to them. Then came the Middle Ages, when King Alfred conquered the Danes. The Magna Carta proved that no man should be hung twice for the same crime. The Renaissance was the time when Martin Luther was nailed to the church door. He died a terrible death, being excommunicated by a papal bull.
Oh, wow.
Gutenberg invented the Bible, and Sir Walter Raleigh invented pipe tobacco. You have to be old enough, a certain age, to get that. The government of England was a limited mockery. Henry VIII found walking difficult because he had an abbess on his knee. Queen Elizabeth was the Virgin Queen. When she exposed herself before the troops, they all shouted, "Hooray!" Then her navy went out and defeated the Spanish armadillo. A great writer was John Milton. He wrote Paradise Lost. Then his wife died, and he wrote Paradise Regained. Christopher Columbus discovered America while cursing the Atlantic. When the pilgrims landed, they were greeted by Indians who came down the hill rolling their war whoops before them and carrying their porpoises on their backs. Meanwhile, in Europe, gravity was being invented by Isaac Walton. It is chiefly noticeable in the autumn when the apples are falling. Queen Victoria was the longest queen. She sat on a thorn for 63 years. The First World War was caused by the assignation of the archduke by a serf. This ushered in a new era in the annals of human history.
Wow.
Purportedly, all of the previous were honest mistakes children made in the misunderstanding real history. While we can laugh at them, what's going on today, and really has been going on since practically the beginning of time, has been a deliberate rewriting of history. But nowadays, perhaps it has reached fever pitch as never before. It seems that nearly every day I am astonished once again at some new revelation that what I thought I knew, what I had been taught in school, was a lie. The lies have been piling up and up and up. And we know, both from our own innate senses and definitely from God's very own word, that God hates liars, that is, false witnesses, lying tongues, he declares in Proverbs 6:16-19. He detests lying lips, says Proverbs 12:22. Indeed, liars are destined for one-way trips to an unpleasant destination. Revelation 21:8 states, all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. If that's the case, then it looks like there's going to be a whole lot of people going there. It seems that nearly everything we've learned in schools and hear from the so-called mainstream media are an endless stream of lies, all carefully crafted to support a bogus narrative and counterfeit understanding of the world and who and what we are. The tsunami of lies has grown taller and less credible by the hour. Children as young as toddlers are assumed to just know what gender they are supposed to be, regardless of their physical bodies. Another example is the current assertion by American media that former Vice President Biden won last month's election fair and square, while at the same time, those of his political party lost their races up and down the ballot all across the country. Makes perfect sense, just doesn't it? The Apostle Peter speaks directly to this situation in 2 Peter 3. He is first of all strengthening the weakening faith of many of his readers who were despairing of the Lord Jesus' return. In their minds, the Lord was taking too long to return, and therefore the promise must be wrong, and he isn't coming back at all. Talk about human impatience. That too is nothing new. Those people asked, as Peter quotes in verse 4, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. What a telling statement, or rather, lie. Those people claim that everything has remained the same since the world was first created. How interesting that this is the exact same foundational assumption that is the presumed true and default position of nearly all secular scientists today. From it and its corollary that there is no God has fabricated the entire modern construct that the earth is billions and billions of years old and that all life began with some fortuitous accidental bumping together of some protein molecules in some primordial soupy gunk at the foot of some erupting volcanoes, and the first one-celled living organism came into being, and through eons and eons, this little cell evolved into a water plant, and then into a fish, and the fish started breathing air, grew legs, and crawled out of the oceans and started to live on land. Some of them grew wings and began to fly in the air, while others grew arms and legs and climbed trees. I guess the trees also somehow came out of the water too. And some of these tree climbers started to grow tall and walked on two legs instead of four and got smarter and smarter and finally turned into you and I. Isn't that just wonderful and awe-inspiring? Which is why JAXA and NASA scientists hope the sample capsule of the Japanese asteroid research probe Hayabusa 2, which landed just yesterday in the Australian desert, is hoped by scientists to shed light on how life began on Earth. Since we reside at the top of the food chain, we're destined for ever greater and greater things to eventually become creators of new life forms ourselves. Why, certainly there is nothing beyond our capabilities. Veritable utopias await us if only we will all come together in unity, unite the world under one world government, thereby putting an end to all wars, establish at last peace and prosperity for all. We're just waiting for the perfect man or woman to arise who can lead all the world to this paradise of our own creating. We just need this leader to show us the way. Of course, we've got to prevent the earth from burning up with global warming, or is it climate change, before we can begin ushering in this perfect world of total bliss. Apostle Peter quashes these pipe dreams in verse 5. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command. And he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. What a downer. No wonder so many people don't want to believe in God and the Bible. They deceive themselves thinking, if we don't believe in it, then it isn't true. You know what that's called? Lying to yourself. Perhaps the very worst kind of lying there is. And so to make real this self-deception, history is constantly being rewritten. It's like in the annals of sheep, the wolves are always defeated and disgraced. The revelations, the dreams and visions that the Lord gave Peter and John and Paul, among the many prophets who both preceded them in ages past and followed them even to our present day, tells us of God's future acts. As Holy Spirit told Peter in verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment." In other words, this current world, indeed the entire universe, will be refined by a supernatural fire that will reduce even the so-called elements to nothingness, all to be reconstituted by God into new heavens and a new earth, this time with a heavenly new Jerusalem coming down from God's presence to this brand new, spick and span, sin-free earth. What a day of rejoicing that will be. No longer will God be separated in any way from us, his beloved creatures. No, not creatures, his very own children. For God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. So says God himself in Revelation 21, 3 and 4. This is the truth. When we know the truth and don't let the world sway us, it changes the whole way we live, which is why Christians and our brother Jews are always on the receiving end of persecution. Because all worldly governments know that when people know the truth, they cannot be controlled. So the global cabal of elites wants to keep us in the dark about their demonic plans for world dominion. But we know our God just laughs. And so shall we, for God has already written the history of all time. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are and for having created us and for giving us life. You are so far above us that we scarcely can even imagine what you must be like. But because we know that you are love, because we know that you are the truth, we trust in you. No matter what happens, we trust in you and know you will bring us through everything. May we truly be light in this darkness, especially at this time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.